Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
It's April, and you know what that means. Hot Cars and Cool April Nights is back. This year's going to be bigger than ever, so mark your calendars for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shines, a drive-in movie, and don't forget about the cruise on Friday, April 25th, followed by the biggest show and shine of them all on Saturday, April 26th. Get your wristbands at any local Napa Auto Parts store. And remember, Cool April Nights returns April 18th through the 27th, so update those calendars now and also get a full schedule of events at CoolAprilNights.com.
This is Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I really appreciate your time. I think you're going to enjoy this. I say that every time, but you are. This is going to be a fun one. Lots to talk about. There's some big, obvious ones. We're not necessarily going to get into those. We're going to talk about some of the other things that are percolating in the world today. And then I've got a great guest, Taylor Riggs. Perhaps you've seen her on Fox Business. If you haven't, you should. She is the co-host of the Big Money Show, along with Dagan, Jackie, and Brian, Brian Brenberg, Jackie DeAngelis, Dagan McDowell. It's a good show, fun show, 2 hours. I love the format. I think you'll enjoy it, and I think you'll be a little, probably even maybe surprised. You just don't know about her background, right? And I don't know much about it either. So she's one of the nicest people, but she's super talented in her analysis. And we're going to dive into that, talk a little bit about that, and especially with the tumultuous markets that are going on right now. But I want to talk about some other things in the news as we kind of get going here. Fencing. You know, that sport where you wear the white and the mask and you got the, I don't know all the terms. I know you have to be incredibly talented to do it. But fencing in the news, we had just last week, right? We did a story about somebody who was, a man competing in women's sports. And it happened again. It's happened in swimming. We had Riley Gaines on. We did the one last week about the hurdles in track and field. And now there's this incident in fencing where the female in this particular case, she decided, you know what? I am not going to do this. And so Stephanie Turner decided to kneel in protest of a transgender opponent. Now, people are going to say, Jason, hey, you're bringing this up. You're anti-transgender and, oh, you're, you know, racist or you're, you know, they'll come up with some sort of thing. That's not the position I'm taking here. What I'm saying is that it's fundamentally wrong for these people to compete as males in this case, fencing, and then not doing so well and decide, oh, I'll go over and compete in women's. Now, perhaps you're of the position that there should be no distinguishing between men and women, that there should just be fencing. And there shouldn't be a women's category and a men's category. And so to everybody who feels like that, most of them happen, at least politically in elected office, to be on the Democratic side of the aisle, then take that position and do so on principle and say, we no longer need or want a women's league or women's sports. But that's not what they say. They say, oh, we're supporting women, but, you know, if somebody chooses to go over there, that's where I think there's an inconsistency. It's not an anti-trans position. I've got a lot of personal strong feelings about the topic, but particularly in the adults, once you become an adult, if you're a male and you want to dress like a female, that's your prerogative, right? But don't tell us that you're then going to compete on an even playing field. I mean, why do we have the WNBA as opposed to the NBA? Why have two leagues? And I don't know why men don't start competing over there And if they're going to have that, and, it, you know, the WNBA, I think Riley Gaines posted it up about a day of visibility or something like that for transgender. Well, I think it won't be too long before maybe men start getting involved in the WNBA. But in this case, Stephanie Turner taking a knee and basically, I don't know what you call it, get kicked out or whatever, she has to forfeit because she's not going to compete against a male. And we've seen this play out in volleyball. And I just feel for these women who train, they're at the top of their game, and then they're competing with somebody not on an even playing field. And that's what it's all about. When you have a man participating in that sport, guess what? They're displacing another woman who could have been in that spot. And that's part of the point. Go over and look at it on FoxNews.com. That's where you can see that. Hats off to our friend, Lee Zeldin. He's the EPA administrator. Can you believe that in Washington, D.C., there was an EPA museum? I could just imagine taking the kids, you know, it's spring now, and everybody's, hey, let's go to Washington, D.C. Let's go see, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, the, and then let's go to the EPA Museum. No wonder they had less than 2,000 visitors. The cost per visitor, when you break down the associated expense of putting it together, was like in the $300+ per visitor range. I mean, and it's just a joke. Who thinks that they want to do that? Look, if some entrepreneur thinks that there's a business model that makes sense here, yeah, more power to you. Have at it. But our federal government, what I think we continually forget is that we're more than $36 trillion in debt. And I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, that was just $1 million here, or it's $2 million there. Well, where I come from, you know what? $1 million's a lot. And if you don't start chipping away at the superfluous spending, the wasteful spending, we just can't spend in perpetuity and think that everything's going to be all right. We have dug ourselves into this hole. To give you a perspective, when I first ran for Congress, 2008, I was running ads because I was complaining that the debt was $8 trillion. Now it's $36 trillion. And the very things I campaigned on, I was yelling, screaming, pounding the table, voting, doing all those things. Hey, if we don't fix this, it's going to get worse. We're going to end up spending more on interest than we do our national defense. And sure enough, here we are. And if you don't curb spending, you have a massive problem. Even the small things, folks. Even the small things. And that is one that should have desperately been taken care of and unfortunately was not. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be right back.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos, and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers,
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to big wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1982.
The death of John Belushi.
Our paramedics responded to a home in Hollywood Hills. After a short time, had to pronounce the victim dead.
I came because I believe that the nuclear arms race has got to end for the sake of the world.
To be a part of the group of people that are supportive of what we are about, namely stopping the nuclear arms race.
Count number one, not guilty by reason of insanity. A look of wonder came to the faces of John Hinckley's parents. That's the count charging him with attempting to kill the President of the United States.
At the conclusion of tonight's game between the Giants and the Packers, all NFL training facilities will be struck.
I'm just very happy the patient is doing as well as he's doing right now.
It's very obvious that these caps were tampered with. It was not an accidental thing. It was not a product defect. It was willful and wanton.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A teacher from Pennsylvania makes the Dean's List for spreading kindness through her students and the community. Every semester, Christina Almay gives her students $20 with a heartfelt request. Use it to do something good. It started back in 2018 when Christina lost her sister Katie in a car accident. The police officer had brought the purse Katie was carrying when she passed away, and it had over $100 in tips. Christina wanted to make sure the cash went towards something good because her sister was always doing something for others. So combining her sister's money and some of her own savings, Christina gave each of her students $20 and asked them to perform a random act of kindness in Katie's honor. It was called the $20 Challenge. Her students came up with wonderful ideas like giving to an animal shelter, helping the homeless and veterans. Students have performed over 350 acts of kindness in her sister's memory. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. We know getting good sleep is essential for good health. But if you need another reason to catch more Z's, researchers say getting enough of certain sleep stages could affect your Alzheimer's risk. Researchers from the Yale School of Medicine analyzing sleep data from over 250 people, looking at how long they spent in various sleep stages. Then they compared those sleep cycles to MRI brain scans taken up to 17 years later. And they found critical regions of the brain were significantly smaller in people who get less deep sleep and dream sleep. The regions affected are known to undergo early changes in Alzheimer's. Researchers say more investigation into the relationship between sleep cycles and the progression of Alzheimer's is needed to understand the link. But previous studies have long highlighted a link between lack of sleep and poor brain health. The findings appear in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
In the house.
All right, now it's time to bring on Taylor Ricks. I think you're really going to like this.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Taylor, thank you so much for joining us. This is going to be fun.
Hard to rip myself away from all the negative red on the screen in my equity markets, but here we are.
Yes, so this will be the best part of your day because we're recording this on Friday. It comes out on Sunday. So, yeah, but you're waking up this morning, Taylor, and yeah, it's a sea of red, but I am the big green in your life today.
You are. This is very exciting.
What's going on? Taylor, listen. People need to get to know you first a little bit. I do want to talk about markets. Well, you got to talk about tariffs. You got to talk about, you know, Trump and everything that's going on. But part of what we want to do is get to know you a little bit better because, you know, I was reading up on your background. Doing a little cyber stalking here.
The good
before
stuff
we
or
talk.
The bad stuff?
Well, good stuff. Well, impressive stuff. Impressive stuff. So I didn't know you were 9 years at Bloomberg News before you came to Fox Business.
Yes. You know, it was such a special time. Bloomberg was great. It taught me all about writing about wonky things like bond yields and pension funds and muni bonds and a little radio, a little TV. And then, you know, as everyone says, it's kind of time for that little birdie to spread their wings. And I think one of the more fun things about Fox is instead of just, you know, in my mind, when I think about the Bloomberg consumer, it's the Goldman Sachs trader, right? And so at Fox, I was able to, instead of just talking to the trader about the wonky ins and outs of the markets, I was able to sort of help translate that to people at home who maybe want some money in the market, or maybe they have a small business and they're curious about the economy, but they don't want to be talked down to or talked about crazy, wonky things that they don't need to know. So it's been a learning experience because I've had to switch my brain, but it's been really fun because we get, you know, to hear back from small business owners and normal people and people outside of our crazy little New York bubble. And so really, like, Bloomberg was awesome, and it was a great company, and I learned so much. And it's kind of fun to do the other end of that now, which is kind of just talk to normal people about what they're feeling and grocery prices and sort of, you know, their lives and their businesses.
Well, in order to offer that perspective, you have to be able to drill deep and have that experience and that perspective. Mm-hmm. So you're the co-host of the Big Money Show, which is really fun, right? Noon to 2 Eastern Time there on Fox Business. You got some fun people with Jackie DeAngelis, Brian Brenberg, who's always bringing the energy, and Dagan McDowell. Oh, my goodness, has she got something to say at any moment. So, you know, all good with the four of you. I think it's a great show. It's a great format because you really can deal with the news of the day, but also forward look. And understand that the markets don't operate in isolation, right? There's political factors, there's social factors, there's all these other things that I think the Big Money Show brings into play so that people can make good, informed decisions and understand what's going on in the market.
Yeah, you know, that's what we try to do, where it's four of us, and then every hour we have a new rotating guest. And, you know, it is sometimes a lively debate. Sometimes we all agree on the same topic, but we all approach these things very different. So I definitely was more like the institutional background. Brian has a background as a professor. Jackie, you know, used to work at a hedge fund and has been at Fox now for a couple years and really knows the ins and outs of some of the politics and international expertise. And Dagan, we love her. I love calling her like my little loose cannonball, because I never know what side of the story she's going to come down on. So it's always as exciting to see her angle on things, right? And so what I like is that sort of represents the dinner table. I know, for example, I don't agree with my mom and dad about everything, but we can sort of sit around four or five of us and debate and have a good, healthy debate, right? And that's what this country is so missing and so lacking, is we aren't able to talk to each other. So there are certain things with Brian that I agree with, and then I'll come back and say, actually, on the next topic, I don't agree with you, and here's why. And so we're just trying to bring a lot of different perspectives to people, and we hope that people enjoy listening and laughing and having fun and also learning a little something too, right? If we're talking about the markets or tariffs or the economy, what can they take home so that when they go home to their own kitchen table, did they learn something new, a new factoid, a new nugget that then they can take home into their lives, into their conversations?
Yeah, that's what's fun when you do these shows. And, you know, gosh, I've been with Fox almost 8 years now.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
your badge still works? They still let you in the building?
Every time I come to New York, I think, all right, let's see if this thing works.
Yeah. I do the same thing every morning.
I'm good. Yeah, it let me in. But that's, you know, we all have these different backgrounds, and so we try to, but I challenge myself thinking, all right, you can't just regurgitate what you just read on FoxNews.com. You're like, they compensate you for giving a perspective that maybe others haven't had, or just giving your background. So, all right, so a little bit more about your talent. Then I want to know back, let's go back about those debates with, you know, mom, dad around the kitchen table type of thing. I did not know that you're pursuing your JD, your Juris Doctorate, at New York Law School.
Praise the
Lord. Like, what? Are you not busy enough, Taylor?
30 days left, and I am done. You know, yeah, my background is, it's funny. I have definitely taken more of the traditional educational route, and I think one thing that I've loved about this post-COVID era is it's really opened up my eyes that isn't, and probably shouldn't be, the path for everyone. I have incredible friends who, honestly, now more than ever, are either not going to college or going to college but learning how to code. Someone that I know, my husband's friend, took 6 weeks off work, quit his job, taught himself how to code, and then went to Salesforce and said, hire me, right? So it's like, wow. You don't always need those traditional routes. I definitely was more of a traditional educational girl, and I felt like reading the textbooks and the knowledge that I get in the classroom and the debates in law school helped me be better on air as I've got my master's in finance. I got my financial analyst certification. I'm going to be hopefully a JD in a month if I don't fail out in the last semester of school. But all of that is probably because I'll never practice those things. I don't think I'll ever be a lawyer, but I want to teach, I want to absorb as much as I can so that the viewer doesn't have to, right? So that I can come to the viewer and be like, I learned this in economics. I learned this in criminal law. And sort of here's my takeaway with my background. So I definitely more the classical higher education, but I want to be careful that I don't think that that's the only path for everyone. It just happens to be my story, and I've loved it. So I don't think I'll take the bar. Don't tell my mom that. She's going to cringe. But I love learning. I do love to learn.
I don't believe you. And this is why I believe that. So you got your BA in journalism and communications.
Yes.
You got your master's. We just kind of glanced over that. Getting your master's in finance at Johns Hopkins.
Yes.
Right?
Sir.
That's no easy task.
No, that was a tough one.
Then you say, I haven't had enough schooling, so I'll go get my JD, even though I'll never be an attorney. Because, you know, most Americans do that.
My poor husband.
No, you're going to be, wait a sec. This is why I don't believe you. You're going to do all that. Then you're going to say, oh, look at all this free time. Like you have free time, right? You're married. You've got the Fox Business Show. You're doing all kinds of Fox. You have to do this podcast. They, like, force you to do my podcast. You're going to look at that and say, I've gone this far. I'm taking the bar. Because your mom's going to sit down. She's going to give you that look. She's going to turn her head just a little bit. And she's going to say, Taylor, just take the bar. You can't do it at this point? She's going to shame you into it, and you're going to take it.
The
and
problem
I'm right.
is I have a poor husband who looks at me every night because I have to go sometimes downtown to school. Not all of it's remote. I do have a daughter, an 18-month-old, and I'm having another daughter in August.
Oh, congratulations.
So my husband looks at me, and he's like, I'm not doing this any longer. And but I do want to be married more than I want to be a lawyer.
Okay. Love that. Good answer. That's like the family first answer. Yes. Amen to that. Here's the thing. Studying for the bar can happen at home.
I know. That's
true. You don't have any more excuses. You can love your husband, love those babies, have that baby, and study for the bar. I just know if there's a betting market somewhere, I'm betting that you actually take this bar.
Don't do this to me, because now you're like putting me up there where I'm going to do it, because you're like egging me on, and now I want to just like prove
you
wrong to do it.
I don't even know you that well, and I know you're going to take it. So based on the 10 minutes we've been into this podcast, I can tell you're already going to take it. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine here for a second. Tell us, like, where were you born? Tell us about growing up, and don't just glance over it. I'm going to interrupt you if you go too fast. So I was born in
the great 209, Merced, California.
Wow. See, I didn't have that on my bingo card.
You know, and what I loved about it, super, super small town. I mean, not super small town. We have maybe 60,000, 80,000 now.
That's
population.
Not a small town.
But small town in terms of growing up, doors unlocked, running across the street to grandma's house barefoot in the summer.
Right.
Mom opens the door and says, your uncle and cousins are also at the door next door. I'll watch you run over there. You can be barefoot. You're at the sleepover with the neighbors next door. No problem. I trust them. They'll watch you for the night. So small town feel in terms of I mean, my dad's one of five, and they're all within a two-mile radius of where we live.
Wow.
Right? Like, that's just where we are. And a really big agricultural community. So I think you might know in the heartland of California, it's more like the breadbasket to the world, right?
Sure, yeah.
Where it's cotton,
incredible.
Tomatoes, dairy, cattle, almonds. So if you're eating it, we're probably growing it.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Taylor Riggs right after this.
Daryl Worley, Mark Wills are coming to Wind River Resort and Casino on April 18th. You won't want to miss Daryl Worley performing his top hit, I Miss My Friend. Alongside Mark Wills singing 19-something. One night, two performers. Tickets starting at just $50. Must be 21 to attend. For complete details, see WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280. You win. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
The Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International 31st Annual Banquet will be Saturday, April 26th at the Wind River Events Center. Doors will open at 5 p.m. There will be games, live and silent auctions, and drawings, which will include over $35,000 in prizes for hunting, camping, and plenty of items for the ladies. We look forward to a fun evening in support of the world's largest wildlife conservation organization. To purchase tickets, go to scireading.org. That's scireading.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Invest in your future today with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready fast with one of our high demand career technical programs like nursing, heavy equipment, and welding. Or work on transferring to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement. Full-time students get 2 years tuition free. Summer session begins June 9th. Click or call 242-7650. Your success starts at Shasta College.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
let me ask you. If you could, if you and Sandra Smith, also at Fox, who ran at LSU, if you were in a race with her, who would win?
Oh, she would smoke me.
All right,
she's,
that's an honest assessment.
She's competitive, and she did steeplechase, right? Like, she is the real deal.
Yeah.
She still runs with her sons, I think. I think she confided in me, and now I'm on radio saying it. I think her son is just now starting to beat her a little bit.
Oh.
But
she is the real deal.
I would lose to her every time, but she's an awesome competitor, and she has that athletic running streak the way I do.
Yeah, look, not to get off track here, so to speak, but, yeah, Sandra Smith, she ran at LSU. Like,
yeah,
she was not.
She's the real deal. She's legit.
The real deal. But you're legit. 17 marathons. Okay, so, sorry, keep going. So you're doing athletics. You're running track. You can run fast. And you did you say you did school plays, things like that?
I did. Yeah, you know, I had wonderful parents who, growing up, they just, like, threw me into everything and said, figure it out.
Yeah.
And they were like, if you like to run, you can do track on Thursday. And my mom mandated piano lessons. Mm. She said classical music, number one, is something that she will not budge on.
I tried
that.
So
I did.
It didn't go so well.
I know. It's hard. You know, but what I love about it is she knew I probably was never going to be a professional pianist. But starting at, what do you think? 5, 6, starting with like the scales. It's repetition. It's memory. It is.
No, it's good.
You know, waking up in the morning and practicing for an hour a day. It is. It really taught me
how to prepare for the bar.
Yeah.
See?
Oh gosh. I am never letting my mother listen to this.
Yes. Oh, thanks.
Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to do it just to prove you wrong.
Yeah. See, you're a competitor. That's what I like about you,
yes.
Taylor. You're a competitor. All right. And so you got these sisters. You get mom and dad. Where did you learn to speak? Because as I brought up with lots of people who've been on the podcast who've, you know, or do a lot of television or public speaking or whatnot, it's one thing to have the talent, have the background, you know, but it's another thing to be able to articulate it.
Mm.
So where did that skill set come from?
I think that was later in life, right? Like, for me, that was more...
You were never shy.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. And it's so funny watching my daughter in group settings.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever watched your kids where I'm one of those where, like, I could just go into a room and, like, make small talk? But my daughter's where she'll go onto the playground and she kind of stands back and she observes and she watches,
mm-hmm.
and she waits and then she picks her moments. And it is so funny. That's like so my husband, whereas I'm probably more of a bulldozer, right? I'll just like walk in and like make eyes with anyone who will make eyes with me and start a conversation, you
and
know.
You're not making eyes with anybody anymore. You're married now, Taylor. So
no, but you know what I mean. Like at a cocktail party,
done.
Like making eye contact, not making eyes like that, but
oh,
who,
those
who
eyes.
Will look
okay,
my way and let me into their circle of conversation.
Okay, there's making eyes and then there's making eyes.
No,
this is
just
it.
Like
okay.
Normal. Normal, like business. I
How did
like
you meet your husband, if I can be so nosy?
Yeah, you know, we met at work. Isn't that crazy? Old school. Old fashioned. He was at Bloomberg. I was at Bloomberg as well. We were in totally different departments. But it was, you know, kind of the height of Me Too movement. And so I'll never forget, I emailed HR. You're going to die at the story. I emailed HR, and we're just friends. He's a big runner as well. So we just started, like, he would find me in the hallways at Bloomberg and be like, oh, hey, do you want to go for a run later? It was very casual, like, sure, let's run. We were
that
both
worked.
Training for marathons.
That worked.
You know.
Wow, evidently.
I know.
You want to go for a run? I didn't know that would work,
best.
But okay.
He's so sweet and so attractive. I was like, I would love to go for a run with you.
Yeah,
no one has ever asked
first.
Me out for a run.
Yes. It actually is a brilliant move.
And there's no pressure. I'm not staring at him from across the table in a weird restaurant.
You know?
Like, 3 p.m. after work, we all go for a jog, like very easy.
And it doesn't cost anything.
Exactly. And you can kind of, if you run slow enough, you can still have a conversation. One of our first fights, actually, is I was like wanting to like understand him. So I was running slow so I could talk. And he was just running full speed ahead. And at the end of the run, I was like, I don't know anything more about you now than I did an hour ago because you just run really fast so you couldn't talk. So then the next time I think he had to figure out to slow down so he could actually have a conversation during the run. But I remember I emailed HR and I'm like, we're just friends. We're in totally different departments. But if there ever were the chance that we might be together,
right,
does that violate, you know, any HR rules? They literally laughed at me. They were like, you guys don't even work on the same floor. You're not even in the same department. We do not need to be knowing about your personal life. Stop emailing us.
Okay, there's a lot to learn about you there. First of all, you are a rule follower.
Yeah.
And you do think ahead, like, oh, this could cause trouble if
I don't want to.
But you also were foreshadowing that things are going to maybe, you know, pick up the pace a little bit.
You know, don't you feel like when you know, you know? I, too, was also in my early 30s when I met him, and so I felt like at that point I knew almost immediately.
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know, there's a lot of truth to that, and I also think that along the way, you're in charge. The girls are in charge. They're like, yeah, I know where this is going, and I can tell what's going to happen down the road. So they've already kind of made up their mind whether or not the guy is as anxious as he probably is. But it all worked out.
So
it
did. He's
it all
best.
Worked out. Yeah.
Best husband, best father, as
oh,
are you,
good.
I'm sure, to your family. So
there's something. You know,
there's someone for everyone.
There's, what is that saying? There's a pot for every kettle for,
yeah,
there's a lid for every pot or something like that. I can't remember.
We'll go with that one.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Good for you. And to have your second baby, that's
we're so excited.
Because I do believe that two is easier than one.
Okay, really? So yes. Tell me about that, because I heard I've gone from zone coverage to man coverage now.
Yes, but when they start to get a little older, they start playing together. And
Amen.
They have these funniest conversations, and they enjoy each other's company, and you don't, because it just is. I told this to Gutfeld. I said, you know, Greg, just remember, two is easier than one. He said, yeah, but 60 is not an easy number to start with. So I thought that was, Gutfeld being Gutfeld, I thought that was a pretty funny answer.
Are yours close in age, too? Mine are going to be just shy of 2 years.
Yeah, my brother and I were 3 years apart. And, you know, I talk to him every day. And then our own kids, yeah, you know, I have 3 kids. So the first two are, I think, 3 years apart.
Yep.
And, you know, they play together. One was a boy, one was a girl. And so I just think it's, you know, every family's different. If you're an only child, my dad was an only child. Worked out great for him. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Taylor Riggs right after this.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
For free information, call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. That's 800-841-0908.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos, and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A beloved doctor from Baltimore, Maryland, whose patients stepped up when he needed it most, makes today's Dean's List. Dr. Michael Zollicoffer, or Dr. Z as he's known, has been treating patients for almost 40 years. The pediatrician is known for his kindness and caring for others, even if they couldn't pay for their visit. He puts his patients ahead of himself and rarely takes time off, until now. Dr. Z was diagnosed with cancer, and when his insurance wouldn't cover his treatment, that's when others stepped up to help him. Friends and patients set up a GoFundMe campaign and raised over $230,000 so that Dr. Z can get better. He says it's hard to put into words what this moment means. Dr. Z says he's thankful he got cancer because he's the happiest man on the planet. No matter what the outcome, this is what America is all about. Dr. Z, we're praying for you and hope you get better soon. You make us all want to be better humans. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Take a pause.
Think you could handle listening to this for nearly 8 hours? A Reddit user said they had to listen to a dog barking all the way on a flight from Paris to Newark. The dog wouldn't quit, so that sparked the debate. Should dogs be allowed on planes?
It's not fair to, like, have dogs in the same space where people might be sensitive to the noise.
Passengers at Newark Liberty International had mixed opinions.
They're not too big and smelly. It's okay, you know.
Some folks recommend drugs like gabapentin to make sure Fido naps on the flight, but if you don't want to medicate your dog, you could try the pheromone calming collar. Either way, talk to your vet before that long trip or consider leaving Fido home. You can board them, leave them with a pet sitter, or take your chances on this.
No, they're not allowed.
What about the crying baby? What's the difference?
Take a pause. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Okay, so you got the family going. You guys certainly got the education behind you. You're rocking and rolling on Fox Business. You got a happy home life. I mean, everything, all the balls are bouncing in your direction. So,
oh, God willing, right? That is that way.
It doesn't always, you know, life happens.
Yes.
Accidents happen. Things happen. Changes happen. You just sometimes you can't. You know, foreshadow them, and everybody goes through something at some point.
Yeah, well, and I will say, you know, I think, too, being a working mom, and obviously I chose to work outside of the home, and for financial reasons, living in New York City, we need a dual income. But I do want to dispel this myth that we can have it all, and I think sometimes you can look at, I don't know, someone like me and say, you can have it all. But I will say, you know, I was at school until 9:30 p.m. last night, and so I missed bedtime with my daughter. So there is a trade-off, right? And now this is temporary, and every day, and if I come in early for, let's say, to do a hit on Fox and Friends, I don't get to wake up with her. But every day I try to tell her, if I'm not here in the morning or if I'm not here at night, I'm doing this because I'm invested in your future. I want you to grow up. And in my case, it happens to be working outside the home. Both my sisters are stay-at-home mothers, and I totally respect that. That is such an incredible, maybe harder job than what I have. But you can't have it all. There's always a trade-off. So I missed my daughter last night because I was in school, but I'm hopeful this weekend I'll have more time with her and school will take a back seat, right? So it's always that balance. But I think it is a total myth to say you can do it all at one time. I think you can do it all, just not at all at one time,
right? There are seasons. Yeah. And right now the season is, it's a little bit more work in school and a little bit less daughter. But I think this summer that shifts. And then it's a little bit more daughter and less school. And so I just wanted to put that out there because I think women, especially young women growing up, are told, I have to work, I have to get a degree, I have to do this, I have to provide, I have to go to the grocery store, I have to have children. And right. It's okay to say there's an order to things. And number one and number two may switch places every other month or whatever that looks like to a family.
Right, yeah. No, that's a reality. And I think you'll find the right balance. You're talented enough. You know how to work hard. You know how to multitask. You wouldn't have been able to accomplish all the things you've been able to do if you can't do all those things. So, that's like, in terms of skill sets, like, that's got to be top of the chart for Taylor. That's good.
Juggling.
That's good. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's true with everybody, but you've got that off the charts with all your schooling and business and jogging and, and having kids. And, yeah, that's good. More power to you. I think that's awesome. All right. Can we just jump to, I got two more general areas. Let's talk generally what's happening with business, what your take is on it right now. Uh-huh. And then I got some personal questions I got to ask.
Ooh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Uncertainty. So yes. We had Liberation Day, April 2nd. Yes. Obviously, massive market sell-off Thursday, big market sell-off Friday. Normal, orderly correction. I don't hear anyone saying the markets are in so much of a free fall that I'm placing sell orders on the stocks and there's no one to buy on the other end, right? It's an orderly decline, which is very good and very healthy for the market. The last 2 years, we're up over 50%. So we're now down 10%. So instead of being up 50, we're up 40, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have odds of a recession gone up? Maybe, sure. That's what I keep hearing. But Jason, I come down on both sides of this. So on one hand, the tariff announcements were way more than I think anyone expected and way more than the market was pricing in. That is absolutely fair.
Mm-hmm.
The markets are now rethinking what is the value of my stock if they have a profit hit, if tariffs go up and that company eats the cost. And we're trying to figure that out right now. The other side of me says, well, as a mother, in the last 30 years, and you know this from your time in Congress, we have been making the bet that the American consumer would rather buy a cheap TV from China 10 years down the road than they would rather have the cost of that TV stay the same for it to be held by an American, maybe your daughter or your son, right, in the Midwest. So as a mother, I'm trying to figure out, would I rather give up my daughter, my granddaughter's future so that I can buy a cheap trinket from China at Walmart 10 years from now? Or is that not a bet I'm willing to make anymore? That is the debate I think every American is having. I feel very fortunate. I'm in a position right now where I'm not willing to give up my daughter's future to buy a cheap thing from overseas a decade from now.
Right.
But I can afford to take the hit from the price from that. And there are many Americans, I understand, especially after 4 years of massive inflation, who cannot pocketbook-wise make that. They need cheap items. We are exporting really awesome, high-quality NVIDIA chips to China. They are exporting to us a cheap beach ball from China.
Right.
10 years from now, they are eventually going to learn how to figure out how to make those chips. And what are we left with? We're still left with that cheap beach ball from China. What's the trade-off? What's the cost? If all your antibiotics are coming from China, what's the cost? But that is not to say that we are not obviously very much experiencing short-term pain. But that's the argument. And I see both sides.
Well, and here's my quick take on it. Donald Trump is perpetually and always negotiating. And this puts us, he does have a point. This does put us in a better position to, country by country, come up with these reciprocal agreements where we have balance. American-made goods, nothing, right? There are no tariffs, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
They don't have to worry about that. Then the other part of it is, if they reduce their tariffs, we will reduce our tariffs. And I think that's fair.
Right.
So here's the point. Go watch The Big Money Show if you want to go. This is the kind of stuff you would discuss for like 2 hours, and it's going to be really good.
And we have big debates, and I will say,
oh yeah, this is one worthy of debate.
This, and there are days when I see one side, and there are days when I'm on the other end of it, right? Because I think everyone at home is having these same debates, and it impacts everyone differently on a personal level. And what I'm hearing just quickly, I love Made in America. I will never bet against this country. We're the best, most resilient people you've ever met and will ever meet. That said, it could take, I'm hearing, 3 years to even move 10% of an auto supply chain. So again, what is the patience? Elon Musk came and built a factory in the U.S. and is 88% American made. Ford and GM have been here for 100 years, and so they're obviously experiencing, through NAFTA and USMCA, a very different supply chain that is very much more global. It can be done, but it takes time. And how much time and how much patience, I think, are we all willing to digest if indeed as well there might be a recession? That's the question.
Taylor Riggs,
thanks for
having
me.
You're the best. Thanks so much
for
joining
us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We'll see you soon. And thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Thanks.
All right, Taylor Riggs, thanks so much for her for joining us and everything she does. She's always got this energy, this pop of energy, and the smarts to back it up and talk about tumultuous markets. So I appreciate her spending all that time. You should subscribe to this podcast. You should mark that little box where you can rate it. That would be really helpful to us. And then I want to remind people that if they subscribe to the show and do it the right way, they can go to Apple Podcasts, listen to it ad-free. You can do that on the Amazon app, too, if you do set it up that way. And go over to foxnewspodcast.com because lots of good podcasts out. You can go look at those as well. And thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. The White House says the tariff policy has brought more than 70 nations to the bargaining table to rework trade deals. Economist Steve Moore says President Trump will win in the end.
I believe in trade. I believe in Trump. I know his vision is to make America even more prosperous. And I think in the end of the day, I would not bet against this guy. As you know, I've worked with him now on and off for 8 years. And he's a visionary. He's pro-business. He's pro-trade. He's pro-American worker. I think it'll work out. But, you know, this has been a rough spot, no question.
A new YouGov poll finds that well over a supermajority of Americans support tariffs to protect U.S. markets exploited by unfair free trade deals. The U.S. and Iran have agreed to hold more negotiations over Tehran's growing nuclear program. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
This weekend's talks lasted more than 2 hours, and the two sides agreed to meet again next Saturday. In a statement, the White House described the direct communication with Iran's foreign minister as a step forward in achieving a mutually beneficial outcome. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff told the Iranians that President Trump wants to resolve the two nations' differences through dialogue and diplomacy, if that is possible. Greg Clugston, traveling with the president in West Palm Beach, Florida.
It's Palm Sunday. 2.4 billion Christians around the world marking Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem and kicking off Holy Week, which will feature Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and, of course, Easter Sunday, 1 week from today. It's the most important and the busiest week on the entire Christian calendar. Elsewhere, convalescing Pope Francis greeted crowds in St. Peter's Square this morning, wishing more than 20,000 faithful a happy Holy Week. It was another reassuring sign of his recovery. After a life-threatening battle with double pneumonia, Francis was not wearing nasal tubes for supplemental oxygen this morning. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Financial Group is not a law firm. Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee we take you as a client. We'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
The UK government has taken over the day-to-day running of British Steel from its Chinese owner.
Speaker of the House of Parliament, Sir Lindsay Hoyle.
The Lords agree to the steel industry special measures bill without amendment.
And with that, the bill becomes law, giving Business Secretary Jonathan Reynolds the power to direct the company's board and workforce, ensure its 3,000 workers get paid, and order the raw materials necessary to keep the blast furnaces running. The unusual Saturday sitting was only the sixth since World War II and ended on a jovial note.
Have a good Easter, everyone!
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
At least 34 people have been killed in a Russian missile strike on the Ukrainian city of Sumy earlier today. Two ballistic missiles struck the heart of the city as local people were gathering to celebrate Palm Sunday. News and analysis at townhall.com. New questions about the safety of New York's helicopter tours given recent events.
A helicopter crash that killed six in New York City has renewed concerns about the safety of the popular sightseeing excursions. Longtime opponents have revived calls for outright banning non-essential helicopter flights in the city. Since 2005, five helicopters on commercial sightseeing flights have fallen into the city's rivers as a result of mechanical failures, pilot errors, or collisions, killing 20 people. But industry leaders maintain helicopter journeys are safe and that the city's airspace is well regulated. Mayor Eric Adams says he doesn't support further restrictions on the aircrafts, saying they're crucial for the city. Ron Taylor reporting.
Today is Sunday, April the 13th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Edward Fox, who is 88 years old. Musician Bill Conti, remember the theme to Rocky? Yep, he wrote it. His age is 83. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Experience glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
Monday, April 7th marked another rocky day on Wall Street, with stocks drastically fluctuating following Tariff Liberation Day, as President Trump called it. This past weekend, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent, and the Secretary of Commerce Howard Lutnick hit the airwaves to sell, or try to, a bold plan to a skeptical market and public.
There are 50, 60, maybe almost 70 countries now who have approached us. So it's going to be a busy April, May, maybe into June. And Japan is a very important military ally. They're a very important economic ally.
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met President Trump in the Oval Office Monday afternoon. For a conversation on this and more, we bring in our panel. Fox News Radio political correspondent Jared Halperin, editor-at-large at The Spectator, host of the Ben Domenech podcast, Ben Domenech, and national security analyst and Democratic communications strategist Marie Harf. Jared, there's a lot of lawmakers jittery up on Capitol Hill after now the third down day, but this day had some ups and downs and maybe was not as bad as people predicted.
Well, part of the ups, I think, is because there seems to be an indication that perhaps these tariffs are not going to be quite as large, at least long term. And President Trump was sort of asked about the mixed messaging from administration officials. Are these negotiable? Are these permanent? And the president said that they could be both. He said, we're going to get fair deals and good deals with every country. And if we don't, we're going to have nothing to do with them, and they're not going to be allowed to participate in the United States. He went on to say that in some cases, countries will continue to pay substantial tariffs, but there does seem to be an openness to kind of have these tariffs be the high point and then see in the course of these negotiations, sort of country by country, if they can chip down either through rebalancing perhaps the trade surplus, the trade deficits, buying more American goods, lowering trade barriers for American products. That could take some time, though, Brett, and I think that's why you still see an awful lot of concern from lawmakers and certainly concern from investors.
Yeah, Marie, this is a big shift, and I think there was some skepticism, a lot of it, on the market that it was so big and that it was so kind of interestingly put together at the beginning as far as these equations. That said, the traditional political fallout, you know, you talk to some union folks, and they are fired up about the prospects here. You talk to, you know, traditional Democratic groups, and they think maybe this is going to work. The question is, you know, how long is long enough before the fallout is too much?
And how much pain does President Trump want to inflict on the American people? You also had Mike Pence out this weekend saying that these were the largest peacetime tax hike in U.S. history. Now, Mike Pence, who is by no means a liberal on these kinds of issues, Economists will tell you they believe that if these tariffs move forward, small businesses will close, the American people will pay more for most things in their lives, and it's even more complicated, as you mentioned, because a lot of the equations and the numbers that were put out by the Trump administration at the beginning of this just did not match reality. There's this myth that President Trump believes in, that trade deficits are somehow always bad, and that's just not the case. It's been interesting that Elon Musk, a supporter of President Trump in so many ways, a close advisor, has been pretty negative on these tariffs online, on X. And it's caused a real rift in the Republican Party. Members of Congress who face voters in a mere number of months, not that far away, in the midterms, they are getting nervous. Traditional Republicans are and others understand that if they ran on lowering prices and President Trump does the opposite, which many experts across the political spectrum believe will happen if these tariffs go forward, that their voters will punish Republicans, and that this is a self-inflicted wound that President Trump moved forward on because of his long-held belief that tariffs are somehow a good thing for economies, when most economists will tell you the opposite is just the truth.
Ben, flip side here, the president is hinting that they are starting serious trade negotiations with Japan. He's authorized the Treasury Secretary to do that. And he's had calls with Vietnam and India and Argentina, and obviously met with Israel about going to zero tariffs both ways with those countries, or at least considering it. And that's a different ballgame.
Yes, but I think the one thing that we should keep in mind here is that, you know, by tasking the Treasury Secretary with leading these negotiations, that's an admission on the part of the president that these are about negotiations, which seems to be something that is an item of dispute within the circle around him, including, I think, fostered by a number of people who would not like this to be a negotiation process situation. They would like it to be the reality, and the reality long term. You hear from the likes of Steve Bannon and from others, you know, that this is something that they believe is going to remake everything. I think that instead, what we actually saw over the past couple of days is something that I and others have believed for a long time, which is that we had a significant amount of liquidity that was put into the market during COVID, and that there that led to a lot of speculation on things like we have not seen in the past to a greater degree than was justified, and that there was always going to at some point come a correction in that. What we didn't expect, of course, is that this would be the moment when the president would decide to do something this big. I think if you had gone into this administration, a lot of people would have predicted a trade war with China and with countries connected with China was very likely to occur at some point, and that that was going to be something that the president has obviously telegraphed for a long time. Instead, you know, in the old parlance, you know, instead of declaring a trade war with just one country or with a couple of countries, he kind of declared it on the world, which is not exactly something that you can unswirl very quickly, especially if you're dealing in terms of bilateral talks that take time and effort and have to go through a process. Now, of course, this is the president's big bet. He's making this bet at a moment when a lot of people are uncertain about a lot of things going on in the world, and those include a key portion of his voters who are older and who are retired or about to retire and who, you know, have their plans that they put in motion based on the market's performance over time and what that means for their retirement. Those are the people that I'm hearing from who are nervous. And I'm also hearing from the people in my generation who are concerned about what grandma and grandpa are going to be doing, and if they're going to be able to maintain themselves, because they don't have the same kind of timeline that a lot of working Americans have today in terms of the future. So this is, again, the president betting on his beliefs about tariffs, which run at odds with traditional Republican free market argument, and that's a bet that he's going to either win or lose at. It's just a question of how long we know until it's a win or a loss.
More of the Fred Fair Show coming up.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos, and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This is Health Call for Health. The Department of Health and Human Services rolling out a new initiative aimed at protecting our nation's youngest. Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. launching a new task force aimed at improving the safety of baby formula. Operation Stork Speed calls for a review of heavy metals and other contaminants in infant formula. The agency will also start a nutrient review process and encourage companies to work closely with the FDA. A recent Consumer Reports investigation found potentially harmful levels of arsenic and lead in some baby formulas, but the study showed most did not have high levels of contaminants. The review comes after a formula shortage in 2022 during the global supply chain crisis, exacerbated by the shutdown of an Abbott formula plant in Michigan over sanitary violations. Secretary Kennedy is pushing for the U.S. to ramp up its domestic production of formula, calling it a national security issue. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A Utah nurse was arrested and accused of aggravated murder after she allegedly convinced her patient that she had terminal cancer and injected her with a fatal dose of insulin in an attempt to collect a $1.5 million life insurance policy. 47-year-old Megan Randall Sundwall was arrested last week in the death of 38-year-old Casey Lynn Terry. Back in August, police officers found Terry unresponsive in her home. Sundwall told officers Terry had a do not resuscitate order, didn't want to go to the hospital, and had been battling terminal cancer for years. Paramedics allegedly found a diabetic needle despite Casey not being diabetic, and her blood sugar was at life-threatening levels. Casey died 3 days later. An autopsy showed she never had cancer or major health problems. Detectives found thousands of texts between the two women with Sundwall offering to help her die. Turns out Sundwall was never Terry's life insurance beneficiary either. She's now being held without bail. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The nation's air traffic controllers went on strike on August 3rd, 1981, grounding about 7,000 daily flights. 3 days later, President Ronald Reagan took an unprecedented move to break the strike. He fired all 12,000 air traffic controllers in retaliation.
Let me read the solemn oath taken by each of these employees. I am not participating in any strike against the government of the United States or any agency thereof. It is for this reason that I must tell those who fail to report for duty this morning, they are in violation of the law, and if they do not report for work within 48 hours, they have forfeited their jobs and will be terminated.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Thank you.
News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
There's efforts on Capitol Hill to try to thwart the president's tariff policies, and there are even seven Republican senators who suggest that they would vote for it. But the White House signaling that that would meet a veto threat, and the president, if it got through the House, which is doubtful it might, but it might, that the president would veto it.
Yeah, and it's unrealistic that it would get through either the House or the Senate with that veto-proof majority. And it shows, again, kind of over time, how the legislative branch has kind of ceded what traditionally had been a congressional oversight policy, tariffs and tax policy, to the executive. And President Trump is not the first president to wield an awful lot of influence as it relates to tariffs. And Congress has, up to this point, not done a whole lot to kind of rein in that power or reposition that power back towards Congress. Lawmakers seem to be most troubled with the tariffs on Canada. You've seen a lot of bipartisan concern with those. But again, does not seem to be at the level that would be needed to certainly override any sort of veto. And to your point, the House, especially House Republicans, seem pretty unified at this point to let this policy play out and give President Trump the runway here that he's asking for.
Lastly on tariffs, Marie, the China tariffs, where the president says that if they don't pull back their retaliatory 34%, China putting that on, that he is going to implement an additional 50%, which takes some Chinese goods up to 100% tariff by noon April 9th. That's quite something. China can't really survive that long in a trade war environment because they import everything.
Look, I think there's a lot of consequences that would come from such extreme tariffs. You named one of them. There are a lot of goods that Americans would not be able to afford if we ratcheted up the trade war with China to that extent. But there's also evidence that the trade war is impacting other important issues. For example, the TikTok deal that Trump really wants to get done because he loves TikTok and a lot of his supporters are on TikTok. China said they won't negotiate over that deal, which they have to do in order to get an agreement here until this trade war has ended. So it will be interesting how the trade war spills out into other issues. On the flip side, another interesting negotiation Trump is involved in with Russia and Ukraine, he's looking for leverage over Russia to get this war ended and yet didn't put any tariffs on Russia. Put more tariffs on an uninhabited island than he did on Russia, and there is room to do so. So I think that how this trade war plays out for the American consumer, and the American public, is a huge political piece of this.
Yeah, and on the Netanyahu meeting, Ben, it seemed like Iran was a big focus. The president saying, really for the first time, that they are having and engaged in direct talks with Iran coming up this week, one-on-one talks to try to get to the table, negotiate something, as opposed to green-lighting Bibi Netanyahu and the Israelis to go after nuclear sites.
I don't think that the president wants to have to do that, wants to have to go after Iran at this particular moment, especially just given the number of things that are on his plate. But I also think he's absolutely willing to do that if it does seem that there is no ability to have something that keeps the American side of things, his advisors happy, keeps Bibi Netanyahu happy, and actually results in a real and measurable change in what the Iranians are doing.
Yeah, and Jared, you know, we don't talk about it a lot. We have shown some of it, but the operation against the Houthis in Yemen, which are supported by the Iranians, is really kinetic. We just got a little peek from Defense Secretary Hegseth about these bombings happening pretty much daily by U.S. fighter jets and bombers in the region, taking out underground facilities, missile-making facilities, and troop locations to stop them from firing on U.S. naval warships.
And really all ships. I mean, this has been about freedom of navigation. President Trump has talked about that. Certainly when you fire on U.S. warships, you're going to get a response from the U.S., but it shows the kind of relentless attitude that the president and the Defense Department have taken. These strikes that got a lot of attention because of the signal leak have continued. There has not really been much of a step down in the way that those strikes against these Houthi targets in Yemen are being carried out. It is interesting that as those strikes continue is when President Trump announced what he said are going to be very high-level talks on Saturday with Iran and raise the stakes for it. He said in the Oval Office today that if these talks with Iran are not successful, he said Iran will be in great danger, because they can't have a nuclear weapon. That sets a pretty high bar for these talks and certainly shows the seriousness of failure. There are going to be a lot of questions, I think, about what a final resolution looks like. Does it mirror at all the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal that the president withdrew the U.S. from during his first term? And what are kind of the conditions then for Iran, and what would it mean for Iran? Is this about sanctions relief? Is it about sort of a broader diplomatic outreach in that part of the world? It'll be interesting to see kind of what these talks look like on Saturday, who's involved, and what comes out of them.
Yeah. Marie, it's very complicated. It's like three-dimensional chess in the Middle East. It always has been. But Israel continues its operation against Hamas, which is also supported by the Iranians. Hezbollah has pretty much calmed down a bit, also supported by the Iranians. The Houthis supported by the Iranians. And now there is this negotiation, which we just don't know until it happens what's going to come out of it.
Well, and what's so interesting, Brett, is the Iranians have been saying for months that they are unwilling to meet directly with the Trump team. So they have denied that there are any direct talks ever since Elon Musk went and met with the Iranians in New York, right, you know, very soon after the election. And so it will be very interesting to see how they respond to President Trump sort of blurting out in the Oval Office that they will be meeting directly. Who is part of those talks? What do they look like? Where are they held? You know, as someone who was involved in those talks back in 2013 and 14 and 15, all of those pieces of the negotiations really matter towards the question, towards answering the question of whether you will get a deal. And it will be very fascinating to see what comes out of those. Iran, in many ways, regionally, is much weaker than they have been in decades. The fact that Israel, with U.S. help, has been able to assassinate leaders of Hamas, leaders of Hezbollah, take these leaders off the battlefield, including attacking them in Tehran. Right. I mean, that the success mm-hmm. the Israelis have had is extraordinary in the last several years, taking out key parts of Iran's regional apparatus that has really waged so much war across the region. What Iran chooses to do next, whether they will come to the negotiating table, whether they will pull back some of that support because of U.S. and Israeli pressure, that's the million-dollar question. And it will be very interesting to see what, if anything, comes out of these very complicated, very difficult negotiations over Iran's nuclear program.
Yeah. And Ben, the president is getting ready to have his first foreign trip to Saudi Arabia, mid-May, and then Qatar, and then UAE. The hope was that Saudi Arabia was going to be the piece of the resistance of negotiation between Putin and Zelensky. Mm-hmm. It does not seem like that's on track, at least not yet, but there's a lot to talk about with the Saudis and the Qataris and the Emiratis.
Yes, and I think that we're ramping up to a moment here where we're going to see whether the momentum that Donald Trump got when he arrived in January, coming off of that big win in the election, the momentum that was unquestionable, has been dented by what's gone on this month, meaning that has this trade war, this the beginnings of it, essentially put him in a stronger position as it comes to relating and negotiating to these other nations? Or has it put him in a weaker one? Has he already kind of exhausted the momentum that he certainly had when he came back to the White House? And that's, I think, an open question at this point. We're going to have to see what happens in the interim. But there certainly is much to talk about with all of those Middle Eastern nations and with their leaders. Yes, I think there was, you know, some hope that they had been, that they could play the kind of role that it seemed like they were tracking toward when it came to the Ukraine war. But unfortunately, I think that that's not, as you say, in the offing.
All right, panel, thanks so much.
historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Heavy snow fell in Washington, D.C. the night before John F. Kennedy's inauguration, but thoughts of canceling the plans were overruled. On January 20th, 1961, he stood in the bitter cold on the steps of the Capitol and before a crowd of 20,000 was sworn in as the 35th President of the United States.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Kimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Fox News Audio presents the Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door, exploring the life and crimes of five serial predators from across the United States.
It's a very disturbing case.
Never before heard interviews and first-hand perspectives.
Described as pure evil. That's a good description.
The Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door. Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Get those W-2s ready. Tax season has arrived. It's the Fox Business Tax Tips. Fox News Radio's Ginny Cassola and Hillary Barsky are joined by the hosts of the Fox Business Network to provide you with the latest tips, tricks, and updates on filing your taxes. From deadlines to tax law changes to the latest deductions, we'll cover it all to make sure you keep that hard-earned money where it belongs, in your pocket. Listen and follow the Fox Business Tax Tips at foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A hero bus driver from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, makes the Dean's List for rescuing students from a fire. The blaze came out of nowhere from one of the rear wheels, and the driver of the bus acted quickly, making sure all 15 kids were escorted off the vehicle, while another driver stepped in to grab the kids and get them to school on time. The superintendent of the area expressed her relief and praised the driver and the students for their reaction to the scary incident, which could have been a whole lot worse, but thanks to evacuation drills and the kids knowing exactly what to do, made all the difference. The driver wished to be anonymous, but the whole town expressed their thanks to everyone involved to make sure the students were cared for during and after the incident.
I want to say that we have to be proactive with prayer, because I believe that's the reason why nobody was harmed in this situation.
Well done, everyone. You all made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Common Ground.
There are a number of senators on the Republican side that continue to want to find common ground.
We emphasize the conflict and controversy sells. And I think it's a problem because most Americans look at Washington and see something that's broken.
Why don't we look for ways that we celebrate what this country is capable of doing?
It's amazing what you can do when you get off social media and you start talking, communicating with one another, because there is common ground.
With Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Commissioners of the four major conferences, Greg Sankey of the Southeastern Conference, Jim Phillips of the Atlantic Coast Conference, Tony Petitti of the Big Ten, and Brett Yormark of the Big 12. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. I just want to talk down the row here for all of you to weigh in on why this national standard for NIL is so important. I'll go from left to right. You all just weigh in about how important this may be for Congress to get involved.
Well, Brett, first of all, thank you for having us. And, you know, from where I sit today, federal preemption, having a standardized platform that oversees and governs NIL is critically important. Today, 34 states see it very differently, and it's relatively unruly. And for us to have a level playing field for all of our schools, having a national standard that, you know, obviously provides federal preemption to some of the state laws is critically important.
Yeah, I mean, just the volume of laws that are being passed on a state level are just making it really difficult for us to, you know, to regulate and compete nationally. Like every single time someone doesn't like a ruling or something coming from the NCAA, we end up in litigation. Those rules then, you know, get abrogated and we're back to the start. So we're hopeful that the combination of what we've done in the settlement and the case that we're settling now will give us an opportunity with some help from Congress to really put a system in place that has stability.
Brett, I think for the four of us, we absolutely understand the responsibility we have. 500,000 student athletes have benefited through about $4 billion a year annually for scholarships. This is the heartbeat of Americana and the Olympic movement and the Olympic team. We feel strongly that you need, if you're going to have inter and intrastate competition across the country, you have to have a national standardized rule as it relates to name, image, and likeness. If not, the chaos in the system will only continue to be greater, and it will be absolutely a terrible place for college athletics to stay. And we've made a lot of good progress over the last several years. We feel like there's a better destination and a stabilization coming forward, but we need the help of Congress and national legislation.
I'll just add, we just finished three great weeks of March Madness. To do that, to have a College World Series, to have a college football playoff, to have national championships, you have to have national standards. The system doesn't work with 50 different approaches, which is what's happening through state laws being introduced and adopted. We also face a variety of litigation efforts, and those need to settle out so we can get back to managing what's really special about college sports.
I know you all met with Senator Ted Cruz. ESPN had this write-up saying Senator Ted Cruz of Texas said he's not interested in saving the NCAA and said he wants to give college sports the legal runway they need to save themselves. College sports officials fear that the industry's richest schools will soon have an unsustainable competitive advantage if antitrust lawsuits prevent the NCAA from enforcing regulations that create an equal playing field when it comes to recruiting. You know, the numbers you talked about, the annual compensation for starting football players in the millions, and you look at these conferences, it really is stunning. And I think people don't fully appreciate the money in sports. I talked to former Alabama football coach Nick Saban about this recently on Special Report. Take a listen.
Really, you go to college to create value for your future, and I want the quality of life for student-athletes to be the best it can be, and I think they should have a seat at the table, and I think they should share some of the revenue, but I think it needs to be, you know, equal across the board so that a school that can afford more can't create an advantage for themselves just because they have more money to spend.
Commissioner Petitti, it seems like it's very complex here. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to try to get this to a solution.
Yeah, I think the first important step is we've crossed the bridge of being willing to provide direct revenue to student athletes. We're going to rev share pursuant to the settlement. I think that's something that's overdue, and I think everybody's embracing it. It's just the rules around that system, how players move. If you compare you know, the professional model, there's all kinds of rules about player entry and player movement. We have the portal, players can move, you know, that's a good thing. Players should be able to go play where they want to play. But just the nature of having some idea that states and others aren't weighing in to incent kids to go to certain places for competitive reasons. Like, we need to have some structure. You just can't have a system that has complete unregulated movement, unregulated, a transaction. So that's what we're trying to accomplish, while at the same time making it better for student-athletes. You know, there's going to be a lot of compensation going to student-athletes, and they're going to be able to, you know, to realize the value they're contributing.
What about the shift in all of your conferences? That's obviously affecting fans and, you know, who they're cheering for and where they're going. Commissioner Yormak, you want to weigh in?
Brett, listen, as a conference that has welcomed 8 new schools over the last 2 years, we love where we are today. We're 16 strong. We're in 10 states. We're a national conference. And my attention right now has been to integrate those schools, very comfortable where we are, and really putting most of my energies right now in coming up with a sustainable solution for collegiate athletics. And hopefully the movement that we all experienced over the last couple of years is behind us, and we can focus on the real issues.
The other two of you want to weigh in on the other issue that obviously I hear a lot about, is that the portal and the jumping around, and does that have to be addressed too?
It really does, Brett. And it's a byproduct of this idea of freedom of movement. Coaches have freedom of movement. Commissioners have freedom of movement. Professors, presidents, why shouldn't student athletes? But it was never meant to be in a position where a young man or woman goes to 4 schools in 4 years. And we had done such a really good job prior to this, you know, kind of open movement with graduation rates. And we don't have enough data just yet, but I think it'll be sobering when it comes back. And that should be the impetus for all of us to get together, to get some standardized rules, allow student athletes the freedom of movement, but not to the regularity that you see, again, 4 schools in 4 years.
You know, for me, from a transfer standpoint, you look at 3 factors: the time to graduation, the quality of the education, the likelihood of graduation. We are bringing people into our program. Sure, they compete diligently in sports, but they are at an educational institution working towards a degree. And the more you transfer, the longer it takes to graduate based on research. When you look at transfer GPAs prior to transfer versus after, historically, there's been a diminishment in the grade point average. The quality of that education can suffer as credits are lost, because transferring on multiple times starts to inhibit the ability to select the academic program that may have most value, most meaning for someone. And then the likelihood. The more you transfer, the less likely you are to graduate based on research. Those need to be part of the conversation, not simply the ability for an individual to jump from place to place. Sure, course correct. I did that twice in my college career, not exactly a stellar athlete, so I respect that ability, but there has to be an academic core to what we're doing.
Finally, I just ask all of you together, I mean, you think that this can be solved. It's complex, but you think it can be solved with the help of Congress.
I do, Brett. I think we all do. We wouldn't be here as often as we have been. Listen, this is not only an issue that's really important to us. We feel like the congressmen and women that we've met with understand the need for there to be some intervention and to allow us some assistance. It's too important. As I said earlier, 500,000 young people have access and affordable opportunities in higher education that may not have ever had access to higher ed and had it be affordable for them and their family. So we're motivated to get this thing done and stabilize college athletics.
There's such a passion on the Hill for what we do. So many of the members of Congress have had incredible experiences at the colleges they attended, and they understand that athletics sits at the front porch of those institutions, and it drives everything in the ecosystem. So I think I speak on behalf of my colleagues. We're very optimistic we can move forward in a sustainable way, but again, we need help from Congress.
I speak as a fervent college sports fan, and I wish you all the best. Thank you for coming on and expressing some of this. And we'll follow how this goes. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people paid to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Oh, that's awful, huh?
My brother got life insurance from Ethos, and it only took 10 minutes. And he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit ethos.com/news. That's ethos.com/news.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Billed monthly.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Somebody had to do what we did, and I did a 90-day pause for the people that didn't retaliate.
I don't have any faith in the fact that this has been thought out, planned out, and will lead to any good result at all.
This was his strategy all along. You might even say that he goaded China into a bad position. They have shown themselves to the world to be the bad actors.
It doesn't put the genie all the way back in the bottle. It doesn't eliminate all the uncertainty. But it's obviously a welcome step.
Well, a big welcome step on the market, a big gain. I had the Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick on the show earlier asking him whether this was a major walk back for the president or how this all went down.
Donald Trump is the best negotiator that there is. He understands how to do these things, and he gave, these were crystal clear instructions, no negotiating till 2 days ago. He would be willing to negotiate, but broadly. And then yesterday was, I'll do bespoke. And bespoke, that's what launched it. I mean, every country wanted to come and talk to us. And what are we supposed to do? So the president made his decision. He truthed it out with Scott and I in the room, just the three of us together. And this is where we are.
This is where we are. Let's bring in our panel, Leslie Marshall, Democratic strategist, former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer, and Kimberly Strassel, member of the editorial board at the Wall Street Journal. Kimberly, what do you make of this and reaction to it and where we are tonight?
Well, let's be clear. It's good that it happened, but I think it's still very unclear why it happened. If you listen to Lutnick on your show earlier, various advisors, they'll say this was a plan all along. This was the grand negotiating strategy. But it's impossible not to believe that this administration was looking at what was happening in the stock market. But not just that. The kind of very scary situation that we were seeing in the bond market, a rout in dollar assets. There were some stuff spiraling a little out of control. And the problem with not knowing where this comes from is it means we don't really know where it ends. And that is going to leave lingering uncertainty, which will continue to hang over markets and the economy.
And the question on the politics of this, Leslie, obviously Democrats are jumping on it, saying it's ham-handed and it's not done the right way and it's hurting Americans. If you look at the Reuters Ipsos poll, Americans are in large numbers expecting price increases in coming days and weeks as they've watched the tariff issue play out live. Also asked, Americans are kind of split on whether short-term economic pain is really worth this tariff policy, really split down the middle. Obviously, Republicans are supporting President Trump. Where do you see this playing out long term?
I see it playing out the way that we've seen it play. When I hear that this was a great strategy, it was a great strategy for the president with himself. This is what he does. He comes up with an idea. It's not a good idea. His poll numbers drop. The stock market drops. Everybody's going crazy. Republicans are too fearful to say my constituents are screaming at us and won't hold town halls. And then he reverses course, rinse and repeat. Sadly, that's what we're seeing. I would agree with a lot of what Kimberly said. What this really was about, I think, is that, you know, did he forget that, you know, our creditors, Japan, Europe, China, were going to dump bonds like they did? You know, I mean, when people say that, you know, everybody was afraid or they came to the table, they turned around, that's not the case with Canada. That's not the case with Mexico. And it's certainly not the case with China. And in the meantime, who got hurt, Brett? Who gets hurt? And who's going to be hurt again possibly in 90 days? People saving for their kids' college, people saving for retirement, elderly people who are saying, well, if I'm going to lose my Social Security or some of my benefits, well, what about all the money that I'm saving and that I've put in the market to offset that so that I can just afford to live in my golden years? So this is not just market uncertainty. This is human uncertainty. And I do think we're going to see those numbers on Republican sides fluctuate as well. A lot of my Republican friends who were supporters of the president and voted for him say they didn't vote for this.
Yeah. All right. I guess there's a couple of parts of this story. One is the messaging, you know, and how it's been messaged and handled. The other is the substance. President Trump said today he's brought in, he believes, and they've listed $7 trillion in investment into the country. He believes that he's going to make these big deals, and he is putting the screws to China that he believes has been unfair to the U.S. for decades.
My advice to President Trump's critics and to his allies is stop being surprised that Donald Trump does surprising things. That's his M.O. My favorite part of the news conference today, he was asked about statements his subordinates made saying that this would not happen, there would not be a pause, there would not be negotiations. And his answer was, well, there are no negotiations until there are negotiations. It's just what he said when he came down the escalator in 2015. He said American leaders have been too predictable and therefore we get taken advantage of. And a key to being successful, especially in foreign policy, is not to be predictable. This is how this man operates. And we are so used to consistency. We want the status quo, except the American people don't want the status quo. They want Washington to be changed, to be shook up. It's a roll of the dice with these tariffs, but this is exactly what President Trump promised.
Kimberly, part of this plan, the policy plan, is to also simultaneously go after this big, beautiful bill that includes tax cuts and deregulation. The president and leaders talking about that and some of the pushback some Republicans are giving them. Take a listen.
You just got to get there. Close your eyes and get there. It's a phenomenal bill. Stop grandstanding.
The president's willing to help. I think we get this job done. I understand the holdouts. I mean, their concerns are real.
I will not vote for this bill because it is not responsible. Stop lying to the American people that you can just magically put something on a board and say, oh, it all pays for itself. It doesn't.
I will not support this on the floor. It doesn't make financial sense.
So Politico writes it this way. Trump faces a House Republican mutiny. The president is used to steamrolling his internal opposition. This time, rebellion is in the air. Speaker Mike Johnson is staring down the most significant internal revolt he's faced all year, one that threatens his own plans to advance the Republican legislative agenda and one that even President Donald Trump has been so far unable to squelch. Kimberly, the question is whether this tariff situation is at all emboldening for bringing Republicans together or drives this mutiny even further.
Well, what it ought to be doing, Brett, is making Republicans on the Hill understand that it is all the more important, given this uncertainty out there, that they get this bill over the finish line and provide the business community and the economy some uncertainty as to taxes and deregulation and where that is headed. I mean, Donald Trump was right. The word grandstanding there, the reality is for a lot of these House Republicans who don't like this bill because they don't think it cuts enough, they can cut something or they can cut nothing. The nothing gets them precisely nothing. And the way this is written does not preclude much steeper cuts in the Senate if that's the way they want to go. But if they're just going to sit on their hands, nothing's going to happen and you're going to have a $5 trillion tax increase hanging over the economy until they do.
Right. And Leslie, if the Trump tax cuts expire at the end of the year, that is a massive tax increase. But yet Democrats are not going to vote for it. Traditionally, Democrats hold together. They manage to get the cats on the same going the same way.
I would say that the Republicans are like the cats here, though, Brett, because I've seen so much grandstanding in the past. And at the end of the day, it usually ends up being one lone guy that will stand apart from the party and say, I'm not going to do this, at least during this administration with this president.
We shall see. Panel, thanks so much.
Seems everything costs more these days. Gas, groceries, and when's the last time you checked your wireless bill? When it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Switch to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. You'll get the same fast, reliable nationwide coverage without the Big Wireless bill. Plans start at just $20 a month. Here's Veronica and Jackie, real customers.
I didn't know that I could get something for a lot less money that was actually better than who I was with before.
Anytime anybody complains about their cell phone bill, we say, you've got to check out Consumer Cellular.
And now for a limited time, new customers can get their second month free when they use promo code SECONDFREE. Just call, click, or bring us your bill and see how much you can save. Because when it comes to Big Wireless, if you're staying, you may be overpaying. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit a store near you, or consumercellular.com and use code SECONDFREE to get a free second month. Real people pay to share their opinions in this ad. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Red Bluff Roundup is on April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, and roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractor. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday, brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Corning Ford. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Creed Fisher.
Tell me that you understand.
And Sunday is Davidson and Heyman Family and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital, Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.